Well, thanks, Mike. I'm going to speak from down here today because we'll be able to get a little closer and hear you if you're giving some good answers. So we're excited. The kids are upstairs, at least the little older class, and just being able to have you with us. And we're going to look into have a little more maybe interaction this morning, and so feel free to, it's okay to talk in church, and so you can give some answers, and so we're going to go through this passage that we've been going through, Ephesians, as adults, I guess, upstairs, and youth and adults have been upstairs, but yeah, we've been going through Ephesians, this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, and to this church in Ephesus. He was a missionary church planter. Jesus radically saved him, knocked him off his high horse, literally, and opened his blind eyes and saved him. And he went out to be a great church planter, started churches, and here he wrote a letter a number of years later and back to that church to encourage and instruct them. And so we've been going through that upstairs. And so we're going to look at the next little bit today, so that what Mr. McBride just read. So kids, you should all have gotten, well, parents as well should have gotten a sheet. Everybody get one. Any kids not got? Right? So make sure you got the sheet. If not, you can put a hand up and somebody back there will get you one. Oh, Mr. Stoll, thank you. Put a hand up high and Mr. Stoll will get you one. Gail, oh, Gail's got one. All right. So we'll have that, and it is not just, there's on the back side a bit of bait and switch. I know it's called Children Obey, but on the back side is pretty much all for parents, so you're going to all need one. Just parents, as we go into that, bring our kids up to speed, what have we been going through Ephesians? What have we been learning? What has God taught you? Just one thing that God has taught you as we've gone through Ephesians. We all have a place in God. Amen. Amen. Yes, we all have a place. Janice? Our spiritual blessings. Yes. And that, those first couple chapters, I remember, I think it was Chuck Swindoll, I was listening to a couple, and he said, in I think it was in seminary, his professor had encouraged all the students just to read the book of Ephesians every day for like a month. And you read that blessings, I mean, I don't know how you could stay discouraged if you just read chapters 1 and 2 over every day. If you started your day off reading chapters 1 and 2 every day, you're a child of God given every blessing. You know, like it just goes on and on about how blessed we are to be children of God, this grace he's poured out on us. Yeah, awesome. What else? What else have we been learning? Yes, Rebecca. Yeah. Amen. God cares about the practical things in our lives too. And I you know how unique that is to Christianity? How many religions God is far off, he's to be worshipped, you go there and do some ritual and he's way over there, and it's like, you know, kind of like a here's my rules, good luck with it kind of idea. But Christianity is so personal. He's I want to walk with me in this, is kind of the picture that we see over and over. And I just love that walk analogy, that's why I highlight it there. Right? Walk with me. So that's what we've been learning. And so today we're looking at how do we as parents, and I'll just say adults, you have influence on other people, those you have influence on, but especially parents and kids, that relationship, how do we walk out being Christians, children of God, as kids and parents? And so get your Bibles. I'm going to be using the NLT, which is the one in the chairs today. So if you want, you can grab one of those and you'll be able to follow along word for word. And so grab a Bible and that sheet, and it starts off with, I gotta get my slides out. There we go. Verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do." Now it's kind of neat, first off, kids, that he addresses it to you. You see that? This is God's word. He didn't say, parents, tell your kids to obey your parents, right? He's not talking to you. God is talking to you, individuals. And I mean, that's good. I'm talking to the youth today, too, this first thing, you know, so only, like, but for you guys, like, just to remember that God, that you don't have to wait to be an adult to understand. You don't have to wait to be an adult to hear from God. for him to tell you, like, this is what I want you to do, for him to guide you, to have to hear him with your heart. I tell our kids, listen with your heart, right? You don't have to wait till you're an adult. You can read the Bible as a kid, as a youth, and he can speak to you with what you're going through in school and with friends and whatever. You know, you can pray and you can hear. Prayer is two ways. It's not just giving your request. You can hear God speak to you. You can do that as a kid. You don't have to wait. And so it's kind of neat. He says, children, just the children. And for us as adults, that's just a good reminder for us too, that children are part of the body. And this is what really kind of hit me this week as I was studying this. I was thinking of that 1 Corinthians 12 where it gives the picture of the body and all the body parts. And, you know, no one body part is more important than another. It gives that analogy, right? And it's for a purpose. It's for a mission, right? To go out and to love the world, to show Jesus' love to the world. And it just made me think, pause for a second, and I go, you know, when we think of Huron Chapel, we are a local body. God has put us together, it says 1 Corinthians 12. God put us together as a body. We all have our own unique part. And some of those parts are kids. And for us to be the church God is calling us to be, to fulfill the mission he gives us, the kids have a part. They're some of the indispensable body parts of our body. And that was just a good reminder for me that it's not just send them downstairs, you know, but that to fulfill the mission God gave us, he put kids as part of our body, as integral parts. Anyways, and so he says, obey your parents. So kids, why should you obey your parents? I'm actually looking for some answers this time. So kids, why? What are some reasons you should obey your parents?
Because God told you to.
You were looking at my notes. No. God told you to. Yes. Obeying your parents is to obey God. Yeah. What other reasons? Why else should you obey your parents? Any other? Good reason? Because they know what they're talking about. There's some wisdom there. Yes. Yes. Good. Yeah, Amanda. They keep you safe. Awesome. You guys are right on it. So let's look at, you guys have pretty much given all the right answers already. So we're going to look at those. We're going to actually go to, we're going to look at what the Bible talks about, the why. This verse is really clear. Obey your parents, it says. But let's look at some of the reasons why. And for that, I'm going to go to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs was written by the smartest guy who ever lived, right? Solomon wrote the majority of it. And he wrote these wise things, wise is to make good choices. And so I'll have it on the screen there. But the first one, the first reason to obey your parents is what Micah answered. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. When you obey your parents, you're obeying God. And this is what Proverbs 1, 7 and 8 says. It's on the screen, but you can turn there too if you'd like. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Okay? So it starts off here, fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. And so I just want to explain that. Fear of the Lord is not, you know, afraid of God, run away from him. When the Bible talks about fear of God, fear of the Lord, it's like, it's a respect, it's a reverence. Because of who he is, because of he's the God who created the whole universe, is in ultimate authority of all things, he spoke it into being, okay? So that's the, and so you listen, you respect because of the role he has, who he is, right? We respect, we fear God, it's an awe and reverence of him, and so we obey him because he is God. It's kind of like, I mean, there's not another good, real, equal analogy, but I kind of thought, kind of like a firefighter. So let's say there is a big fire going on in here right now, right? Firefighter comes in. You don't know who he is. You just know he's a firefighter. And the firefighter was like, go out that door right now, right? Obey right away. Go run for that door. But there's a big fire there at Sam's feet. And it's like, and you got to, right? And so what are you to do? Because it's kind of that fear. It's like you obey right away. You don't go, I think that one's better, Mr. Firefighter, or no, I don't feel like it. Like, you're not going to argue. You're going to just do it, right? Because there's that fearful obedience, right? And so you're just going to go for the door, right? Because you know that firefighter is there to save your life, and he's the authority. It's kind of like that with God, who God is. And so the fear of the Lord is the foundation of knowledge. Knowledge to grow in, things to grow. You guys are all learning as often as kids and youth, right? You're in that main, we're all learning for the rest of our lives, but you guys are in school and stuff, right? doing co-ops or whatever. So you're growing in that knowledge. And it says it starts with recognizing who God is. It starts with going, God, I'm going to obey you, right? No matter what you say, I'm going to obey you because of who you are. And then it gives the opposite. Fools despise wisdom. Like I said, wisdom is making good choices. It's not just having, like, knowing lots of information. It's using that well to make good choices. That's what wisdom is. So he goes, a fool despises. That's like kind of really dislikes. We don't say hate in our house. So he really dislikes wisdom and discipline. And he said, that's foolish. That's foolish. Instead, listen to your father when he corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. And so the picture there is that you, because you know your parents love you, you know that they want what's best for you, that you pay attention, you listen, you obey them because they're trying to lead you and tell you what God wants, what's best for you. And so you don't argue with them. That would be a foolish. And even, you see how he even mentions discipline there? You don't even fight back against discipline, because if you know your parents love you and they want what's best for you, they're not disciplining you because it's fun. Trust me, as a parent, it's not fun. We don't do it because it's fun for us. We're not doing it to try and take away your fun. And so there must be another reason why your loving, caring parents who want you to grow are disciplining you. And so don't despise it. When there's a correction, take and think, why would my loving, caring parent who wants what's best for me punish me like this, discipline me in this way? There must be a reason. There must be something they're trying to grow, a knowledge they're trying to grow in me. And so obeying God, the fear of the Lord, is the starting point for obedience to your parents. So that's the first reason. That's on your sheet there, you'll see. Number two, obey your parents to avoid making mistakes. I think it was Amanda, right? Or who? Anyways, you got that one too. Obey your parents to avoid making mistakes. And before we get into this one, just a reminder, so Proverbs was written kind of like a poem. Okay, so it's kind of poetic. So just before we get into it, because it says, my son, and then your father's commandments and mother's instructions, I just want you to know, obviously, this applies to the girls too, okay? That this is just, he's writing it in a poetic way. So this is, these girls, the daughters got to obey your father's commands and mother's instructions, and sometimes mothers give commands and fathers give instructions. They're just writing it in a poetic way, and the reason is because way back then when they wrote it, they didn't have printers and photocopiers. And so the way that kids learned, you didn't have your own Bible to read. You couldn't pull it out of the chair in front of you. And so a lot of it was memorized. And so they made it poetic so you could easily remember it, okay? So you could memorize it. So anyway, so just keep that in mind, because we're going to see this one's very poetic. So it says, my son, obey your father's commands. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. That's basically what we just talked about in the last one. But then it kind of goes into more detail of how to do that. It says, keep their words always in your heart. Okay, I'm looking for an actual answer again. What do you think that means? Kids, youth? What does it mean to keep their words always in your heart? Sorry? To always remember them. Yeah, exactly. To always remember them, it's because you care, right? It's like you take heed of them. It's like you actually care what they said. You grab onto it. You sink it down deep. That's the idea of taking it in your heart. It's not just like, okay, hurry up, mom and dad. What is it you want me to do so I can get it over with? You know, and then carry on with what I want. It's like you're going, hold on. Like, there's something in this they want me to know. There's something they're trying to teach me, to grow me. And so you hide it down in your heart. And then it says, tie them around your neck. What do you think that means? And it's okay to guess. What do you think? Tie around your neck. What does he mean by that? Take it to heart. Take it to heart. Yeah. I mean, it comes right after exactly that. Keep the words always in the heart. Yeah. Take it to heart. There's another picture this is given, a tied around your neck. What do you think that looks like? Try and picture it. What's they're trying to get across? Yeah. I didn't have thought of that. Almost like a leash. Oh, way too many jokes. Like a necklace. That's where my mind went. Yeah, like a locket, like a necklace. Anybody have like a special necklace to them, likely the women, that you wear pretty much all the time, or guys, yeah, like you have one that has some meaning to you, Eric? Yeah. So that kind of idea, like Eric's got a necklace that has a meaning to him. He wears it around his neck, and he takes it with him everywhere he goes. That's the picture there, is that it's you bind it around your neck. You're taking it with you. Everywhere you go, you have this thing close to your heart. You said, Mark, you know what I mean? It's this thing that's meaningful, that's close to your heart, and you're taking it with you wherever you go. And so this is the idea that those instructions and commands from your parents, kids, and youth, is you are listening to those, taking those with you, even when your parents aren't there, right? And so those instructions to be honest or to be kind or those types of things, it's not just like when your parents are to work hard, to do those things, to do the whole job, not just a half the job. You know, all these things they're teaching you, these instructions, you don't just do it just when you're at home. It's not just house rules, right? You take those with you. You take the principles they're teaching you into life. You bind them around your neck. And that's what you see in the next verse. When you walk, their counsel will lead you, right? So when you go out into the world, and you're encountering situations, and the older you get, the more situations, more challenging. It's like you're remembering what your parents have taught you. You're going like, what would my parents, if they were here, how would they guide me? How would they counsel me? You're taking their instruction and guidance with you. When you sleep, they'll protect you. That's the personal stuff you struggle with, the personal things that you, fear, anxiety, you know, all those types of things. You're going, what have my parents taught me? Because they should be teaching you God's direction, God's truths. And so you're taking those, you're grabbing, holding on to those for protection, what they have taught you from God. When you wake up, they advise you, right? When you start your morning, it's like, how am I good? What's the attitude I'm going to have is what I thought of with this one. You know, what are the kind of the attitudes that my parents have been trying to instill in me? I take those. Why? Because their command is a lamp and their instruction is a light. Their corrective discipline, a way of life. What's the picture there? Their instruction's like a lamp. Think, picture you wake up in the middle of the night, open the door, and just try and do a lap of your house as fast as you can. What's going to happen? You're going to run into something. It's going to hurt. Yeah, that's life, right? The way of life is how it ends there. That's life is dark. Life is dangerous. There are many pitfalls and mistakes. I think that's kind of what you said, Amanda, right? Like there's these mistakes and pitfalls that can come. And they're saying their instruction, which again, parents, we're going to get to you next, but you know that it's God's truth, is like a light. And so instead, picture that you open up your door, you grab a flashlight and shine. You could do a lap of the house pretty quick, right? With a flashlight, because you can see the pitfalls and the dangers. It's their command is a lamp, its instruction is a light. Even their discipline helps you in the way of life. So that was number two. And then number three, so obeying your parents is obeying God. Obeying your parents helps you to avoid making mistakes. And then the third one, I like this one. Obeying your parents brings them joy. It says, listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she's old. Get the truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, discipline, and good judgment. Get the truth and never sell it. I'm coming back to the youth, because this is a good one for the youth. What do you think that means? What does it mean? What does it mean to sell the truth? It says, don't sell the truth. Get the truth, but don't sell it. What's it telling, what's it instructing you there? Any ideas? Man, you're good. It took me way longer to figure that out than you just did. But yeah, that's exactly it. Not to trade it out. The picture I thought of is like, say your parents have been teaching you to love everyone, to be kind, to be, right? And so you know this truth. They've given you the truth. You've received it. But then you get into a situation at school, and there's the kid who's getting picked on, and there's the cool group who are the bullies who are doing it. And now you have a choice. You can either hold on to the truth that your parents have taught you, to be kind, to stand up, to do those things, or you can sell it, just like Eliza said. You can sell it, right? And you're basically selling it for the price of being cool with the bullies, right? That would be an example of you're taking the truth, but you're selling it. Selling it. So it says, take the truth, get the truth, and never sell it. Hold on, don't sell it for worldly things. Get the wisdom, discipline, and good judgment. I actually want those things. That might be hard. It's just like us as parents. Do we ever want God's discipline? Right? But then the good part, it says, the father of godly children has cause for joy. Amen. So true. What a pleasure to have children who were wise, make good decisions, make good choices. So give your father and mother joy. May she who gave birth to you be happy. Yeah, parents love it when they, for because it's for your good. I think that's how we've been saying in the Ephesians series a bunch, that we walk out the Christian life for God's glory and our joy. And it's this amazing thing that, you know, not only does it bring joy, but it's for your best too when you walk in obedience. So there you go. So there's the why you should obey. So back in our Ephesians passage, it kind of sums it up with just this, for it's the right thing to do. There's another reason. Just purely, it's the right thing to do. And then it adds on these next two verses. We'll keep going. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Now, honor, the last one said obey. Children, obey your parents. This one says honor. Are obey and honor the same thing? Look for an answer here. What do you think?
No.
No? Do you want to say what you think maybe the difference is?
Because if you obey, you can just, like, obey, but you still just are disrespectful. But honoring means, like, obeying them and being respectful to them.
Man, that's good. What a good answer, eh? Yeah. Yeah. So honor, the difference between honor and obey is that you can, honor has this idea of respect. You respect them in your obedience, right? And it's so perfectly said. Not everybody could hear that, but he said, because Micah said, you can obey without honor, right? And so there's a difference. And so it's that picture of when you go like, fine, I'll do it, right? Fine, right? There's an example of obeying, but without honor. Or, okay, I'll obey. And the whole time you're doing it, you're just grumbling. This is so, can't believe they made me do this. Right? And that would be obeying without honoring, right? And so this says, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Honor, respect, put yourself under them, right, is kind of the idea there. Honor your father and mother. It's for your good. And then it goes on, and it says, the next part there, it says, you saw it said, a commandment. What is it talking about there? This is the first commandment with a promise. Think of any other places in the Bible you think of where it talks about commandments. What comes to mind? The easy Sunday school answer is good.
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments, exactly. And you see how on the verse there, if you look in your Bible, you see how it's in quotations? Honor your father and mother. That's because Paul, writing this letter, he's quoting Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 from the Ten Commandments. He's quoting the verse from the Ten Commandments. That's why he says this is the first commandment with a promise. And so it's a commandment. That goes back to that. Why do we obey? Because obeying our parents is obeying God. Right? One of the reasons we obey. But then it says it attaches a promise to it. It's a commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you and you'll have a long life on earth. And see how that's in quotations again. That's right from Exodus. Exodus says that things will go, it's a promise that things will go well for you. So what does that mean? What does it mean that, what do you think you get from this? A promise from God, which is awesome. But does that mean that every time you disobey, like a day comes off your life, you won't live one day? Is that what that means? No, obviously not, right? So what is this getting at? Does it mean that if you obey, you're guaranteed no one's ever going to die young if they obey their parents? Is that what that means? No, we know tragedies happen, right? And so this is a principle. This is teaching us a principle about truth, right? That the best way to live out life, that's what the Ten Commandments were. They were like the foundational pillars of given to the Israelites, the top ten kind of an idea, right? This is how you should live as people of God. This is the way I want you to live. And if you do that, this is the best way to live. We talked earlier about the dangers in life, the darkness, right? And so life is dangerous. And so if we have a choice, and as you're growing as youth and kids, your parents have been given this responsibility to guide you towards God's truth, to live, to walk out the Christian life the way that God has called you to. And you have a choice to kind of go that way. And it may not be every little decision, right? But if your parents tell you to be honest, right? And it's not that every time if you disobeyed that and weren't honest one time, it's like, oh, there goes that promise. It's gone. No. But if you continue to make a habit of dishonesty and you choose that path of life as you grow up, you know what's going to happen when you get a job? You're going to get caught and you're going to get fired, right? You're going to lie to a judge or a police officer and go to jail. Like there's consequences for choosing a way of life that is contrary to the instruction of God, right? Being kind, stealing would be an obvious one, right? You make a habit of it. It's just a little thing. Mom said it. Didn't say two cookies, you know, like whatever it is, you know, little things, but it creates a habit in our hearts. It's choosing a direction that we're going to go, how we go about our lives. And if we continue to indulge in the wrong direction, we go further and further from God's truth. It's about a way of life. And so God is looking to bring us up. That's what that promise is looking to. It's the wise choice to have a good life. Obeying God is always the best choice. All right, so kids, we'll jump over to the parents now. I hope you guys can listen in on what God tells the parents now in verse 4. So you can flip it over there, parents. Verse 4 says this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So this one, the fathers here, I was interested. Like obviously, I think we would have looked to apply it to as parents. The principles are there. But actually, when I looked into it, the actual word used for father can mean parents. So the word often is used for father, but it's given a masculine tense. And sometimes when it's given a neutral tense, it's just kind of like the authority or a patron is kind of the Greek word over the household is kind of the idea. So in this time it's neutral. So just a whole lot of gobbledygook to tell you that it in the language of the text means can apply to parents, but we would have applied it anyways, I think, from the principles. But so I'll say fathers, mothers, parents, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Okay? So this again, kind of like we were just talking about, is this talking about like if you do anything and your child reacts in anger that you need to change it? Because children brush your teeth. No, it's like, I can't tell them to brush their teeth anymore. You know, I can't do that because it made them angry last time. Like that's obviously not what it's saying, right? And so what is this talking about? Again, it's that long view. It says, don't provoke your children to anger. That word anger could also be translated resentment. Okay, so it's starting to give you kind of a picture. This is a longer-term view, and it actually, in the parallel letter to the Colossian church, Paul says it this way. He says, fathers or parents, don't aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. They'll become discouraged. It's starting to give more of that picture of what this is trying to get at. And that resentment that, and as I was thinking about this, I was saying, I was preaching to myself this week as I was preparing, but you know, is the way that you relate to them as parents causing them to resent, I think, is the thing we need to wrestle with. To resent you. It's not the one-time thing you did that made them angry, you told them to clean their room and they didn't want to and they got angry. It's not that. It's this attitude, this approach, this way that you go about parenting and caring for your child as a parent. Is it fostering like resentment in their heart against you? Right? Is that what's being built into them? Or resentment against God? And that's one of the scary ones that we can, if we use the scripture, this is God's truth. God says, Bible says you have to, right? We need to be careful with that it's true, and it doesn't mean we don't say that, but that if we only have that side, that we only approach it always that kind of approach, that we don't create resentment against God. And they see God is just always telling me what I'm not allowed, always coming to correct me, always giving pressure. That's the picture. And you see this clearly, that obviously this is talking about something longer, because rather, bring them up with discipline instruction. It didn't say rather, don't do anything that makes them angry. No, it says the actual counter to it is to Give them discipline and instruction. That's the other side of provoking them to anger. So obviously, it's not to not instruct them and not discipline, right? And so this is about the how. How do we bring them up? How do we go about disciplining? How do we go about instructing? And as I was thinking about that, and you can see them on your sheet there, these are the questions I was asking myself. Do your kids feel that they can never please you? They can never do anything right? Is that just the feeling that they have with you? Is your parenting is conveying this? They can just never do anything right. Is their only view of you correction and no affection, no compassion? Do they see the relationship as a burden or supportive? Maybe that's a good check. It'd be like, do they come to you? They're coming to you to look because they see you as a supportive person that's going to help them. And they know this doesn't mean they don't get corrected sometimes, but the overall is that when they need something, they feel that they can come to you as a parent. They desire to do that because they trust you and they know that you're there for their good. Right? Kind of the idea of in our parenting, are we pushing the relationship away or are we drawing them near in the way that we have that relationship, that parenting relationship? You can even see it in there. It says, in the way that you bring them up. See, rather bring them up. It's that picture of growing, right? It's not just a one-time thing. It's that picture of growing. Same way we feed them physically, right? We can't physically see them grow, but we know that they're growing. We continually try and help them to grow. We want them to be healthy and give them medicine and keep them, wash their hands, you know, all these things. Because it's not about the one-time act. It's about the ongoing healthy children. And we should care even more so about their spiritual health and their relational health. And so how are we to do that? And that's where we're going to finish off today is we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Any Jews who would have heard that instruction would have immediately, their minds would have immediately gone to Deuteronomy 6. It's like the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is you know, the first five books of the Bible are kind of written by Moses and the Israelites. And so you have the Exodus from Egypt, the book of Exodus, and Leviticus and Numbers wandering around the desert. You get to Deuteronomy and they're about to go into the promised land. And it's Moses giving the final instructions from God to the people. And He gives these instructions for them to carry. Moses doesn't get to go in, so he's giving these final instructions. And I'm going to go right from verse 1. We'll go through it pretty quick because I think these first couple verses give a good summary of what we've talked about so far. Moses talking, he says, "These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me, Moses, to teach you. You must obey them in the land that you're about to enter, the promised land. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God." Talked about that earlier, right? That's the foundation of knowledge. It's the foundation of obedience, not just for our kids, but for us as adults as well, right? We fear the Lord our God as long as you live. Here's that another way, that same promise. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you'll enjoy a long life. Again, it's a principle. This is, you know, this is talking about the path in life that you're choosing. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God, your ancestors, promised you. We've been talking about that long view, this, the instruction, the home environment that's guiding, going in the right direction, the way God's calling you. And then verse 4 sets the foundation. This verse is one of the probably quoted more times from the Bible than any other verse because Jews, a good Jew, would say it morning and evening every day. Okay, it's called the Shema, and it's listen or hear, you'd be familiar with, "O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone," is NLT translation. You'd be familiar with the Lord is one, right? And this was something they'd say morning and day because it laid that foundation of two things. First off, that he's the one true God, right? Living in a world of all kinds of false gods and all kinds of other nations worshiping all kinds of idols. And I'll say again, in our day and age, we say, you know, people say they don't, our culture doesn't say, it says it doesn't believe in God at all. But I would just say they've made religion or success or money or the American dream their God. There's still tons of idols. And this is the reminder that we follow the one true God. There is only one true God, creator. And so it's a reminder every morning, every evening, they'd say that to remind themselves of the one true God and that in his unique covenant, he is our God, right? He's our God. That's the covenant he has with us. He's chosen you. You're a child of God. And so it's that reminder, right? And so we remind ourselves of who God is. It's kind of the fear of God. Same kind of an idea or purpose. And then he goes into a verse we should all know. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. That's the verse Jesus quoted when they came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? This is what he quoted, right? This is the foundation. Jesus said all the law and the prophets are built on that. And so this is the foundation for our instruction, parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. And okay, all of us here, we've got some kind of influence. It's the instruction. It comes down to the instructions to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's what we want our kids to walk away with more than anything, right? That's more than brushing their teeth every day, right? Our number one goal is that they would love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and strength. And we're doing, that's the responsibilities given to us as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands, right? These commands, we commit ourselves to them. And so how do we go about this? Verse 7. And parents, you can write down, so this is what your note sheet's for, but you'll see it on your sheet there. Verse 7, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. I just love this, that it starts off that those love the Lord your God with all your heart and all the commands that come from God. We teach our kids all the time. We repeat them all the time, right? It's not just reserved for a Sunday time. It's not the Sunday school teacher's responsibility to teach them those truths. It's your primary responsibility as parents. And grandparents and aunts and uncles, you take the opportunity that God gives you in the interaction with those kids to teach them the instructions that would draw them into love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind and obey him. And so we repeat them. And devotions are important and Bible stories and those things. And I hope, parents, you have that in your routine day. I really encourage you to have a time when you do those things to instruct. But you see, that's even more than that, because it says talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. This is taking that opportunity to talk about the love of God in just the situations of life, right? That we would look to that. Like I remember listening to a sermon of a pastor I like, and he had a little daughter at the time, and he's like, she's really into pink, and he used that as an example, and he's like, I just keep telling her, isn't it amazing God made pink? You know, just how can we point it back to God? Who he is and what he's done for you and how much he loves you? And you just remember that. And so 6, 7, we do that. Look for opportunities throughout the day. Don't just wait till Sunday morning. And then it says, tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. It's kind of like the necklace thing. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, your home. And then you'll see these questions on your sheet. And I think this is the challenge we'll leave you with. But as parents, do your kids see your faith? They don't just hear it, not just the words you say, but they can see the evidence of a real, genuine faith, personal relationship with Jesus in your life. They see it being lived out. Do they know that you seek God in decisions? You're not doing it your way. They don't know, right? That they see that you stop and that you seek the Lord for decisions that you're making. They see you giving God the glory and praise for the blessings, for the good things that he's given, for all the blessings you enjoy. Do you give him praise? Do they see that? They see you being repentant when you're wrong, especially to them, especially if you've done something against them. Do you go, do you say sorry? That makes such a massive impact. Our home should be a place where our relationship with God is visible, it's evident. And then I wanted to end with this verse from Proverbs. This is really the goal. I've kind of summarized it from our, put it in the language of our Ephesians series. How are we going to apply this week? Teaching our kids to walk out the Christian life in obedience to God for his glory and their joy. Proverbs 22:6, direct your children on the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. That's our desire. They would come to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's the responsibility God's given us. Amen. And so I encourage you, I mean, this is just a little sheet that you could, just for today, I know it'll, right? But I encourage you to talk to your kids. Ask them what they learned in Sunday school, right? How is it that, what are they learning? What are they hearing about God? What is teaching them, right? Engage them in their spiritual lives in the same way you care for them and physically, that you would care for them spiritually as well. What a joy. I'm going to pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for your word, for your instruction, and for the gift of kids and family and grandkids and great-grandkids and nieces and nephews. And, you know, Lord, what a joy, Lord, to be part of the family of God, to have families that you have given us, Lord, and you've entrusted kids to our lives, in our lives. Stir in our hearts an earnest desire that they would love you with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. Lord, that we wouldn't get distracted by all the things that the world says is important. Put so much effort and focus into them doing well at sports or grade card or whatever. Those things are fine and good pursuits sometimes, Lord, but far less than a personal relationship with you. So, Lord, help us to model that as well as parents, as adults, that we would demonstrate with our life that you're our number one priority, you're our number one pursuit, and then to model the joy of a life in relationship with you, that you are a good, good father, that we obey you because we know it's what's best, that you're not out to take away our fun, Lord, but you're to give us the best way to live life. And might we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'll ask you to stand as you're able.